A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Neon lights on the theater marquee read, Fox. A sign reads, Welcome to Detroit. Light gleams off a giant statue of a fist. A Netflix comedy special, Trevor Noah.
Detroit, give it up for Trevor Noah.
The title appears, Where Was I? Trevor, a light-skinned black man with short, dark hair, steps onto a stage. He wears a pale jacket, black pants, and colorful sneakers. He smiles and waves to the packed house. He takes a mic off a stand. He drags the stand back and sets it aside.
What's going on, Detroit? Oh, how you doing tonight, everybody? How you doing? Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming out. Look at this. What a night. What a feeling. Here we are, Detroit, Michigan. We made it.
Lanterns flicker at the sides of the stage.
I've really been enjoying it. I'm enjoying everywhere, to be honest. I'm having more fun in my life now than I think I've ever had. I'm enjoying America more now than I've ever, ever enjoyed it. Every day. I don't even know what it is. I think, you know what, I think it's, you enjoy a place differently when it might be ending, you know? It just has like a... has like a different feeling to it. It's just like, what does that taste? The final season?
Trevor rubs his fingers together and bobs his head back and forth.
Because you never know with America. You really never know. Every day is the best day and possibly the last day. I'm having an amazing time. I truly am. This year was such a blessing because I got to travel around the world doing shows in places I'd never performed before. Places I've always wanted to do comedy. I've always wanted to try it out. You know, did shows in Berlin, Germany for the first time ever. That was really amazing. I won't lie. People freaked me out before I went there. Like similar to Detroit, you know, when people are like, oh, watch out Detroit. You know, like people were like that with Germany as well. Like when I was going to Berlin, people were like, dude, Germany? Do they laugh? I'm like, what do you mean? They're human beings. Like, I don't know, man. Do they laugh? People got to me. There was a point when I was heading to Germany where I was like, maybe Germans just sit in the audience like, uh-huh, yeah, 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 uh-huh, uh-huh. That was a comedy show. But they don't. They laugh. They're actually great audiences. I had an amazing time in Berlin. It's a city that sneaks up on you because it's so culturally diverse. You know, it has a burgeoning art scene, you know, fantastic music. The history in Berlin is truly deep and rich. You know, I love traveling and seeing places whenever I'm in certain cities. And in Berlin, I went out with like a tour group and I had a great time, but I wish someone had warned me how painful a lot of like Berlin's history is. Right? Cause that was basically the headquarters of the Nazi party. So like everything ties back to Hitler. I didn't know this. I thought we were going on like a cute little tour. I ask a lot of questions. I'm curious. This brought the mood down.
Trevor paces.
Yeah, we're out and about. The tour guide was doing his shtick. He was happy as well. He was like, you know, here behind me you can see this is one of the largest airports that was ever built in the world. Yeah, it is a world famous airport here in Berlin. And it is so large that they filmed the Hollywood movie, The Hunger Games, inside this airport. Yeah? Any questions? And I was like, yeah, wow, how old is this thing? He's like, this is almost 100 years old. I'm like, damn, and like, who built it?
Trevor straightens and gives a slight frown.
Yeah, that is the unfortunate part of the story. This airport was built by Hitler. I could see I'd messed things up. I tried to bring the mood up. I was like, which Hitler? He's like, which Hitler? Which other Hitler is there? I was like, could be Henry Hitler. Henry Hitler? Who the hell is Henry Hitler? I was like, you don't know Henry Hitler? It didn't work. Like, yo, man. It was tense, but it was good. And what I mean by good It was nice to be in a place where people don't bury their history. You know, and what I mean by that is that, like, when you travel through Germany, even if you don't go to museums, you cannot escape the past of both Berlin and what Germany did. You know, there are monuments scattered throughout the city, prominent monuments. They're memorializing what Germany did to millions of Jewish people and millions of other people around the world. You see it, you understand it, they talk about it. You know, they teach their kids about it. They teach children in school. They're like, hey, this is what Germany did. They make sure they know, but they don't make them feel guilty about it, which is a pretty amazing balance for them to strike, you know? They'll say to the kids, they're like, hey, kids, I hope you understand. Germany did this. You're not responsible because you weren't there. However, because you're the future of Germany, it's your responsibility to make sure this doesn't happen again. You know what I loved about being in Germany when they were talking about their history is how forthright they are about it. You know, they know it's painful, they know that it's a terrible blight on who they are, but they don't hide from it. Like when I saw them doing this, I was like, man, I wish America did this with history. You know?
Trevor turns his palm upwards.
Cause you ever see how awkward it is speaking about history in America? It gets tense. Doesn't matter what history it is, it gets tense. You know, Columbus Day is one of those days. Every year in New York, there's a fight. Every year. Here in Detroit, there was a fight. There was a bust of Christopher Columbus that was around for 110 years. At some point, half of Detroit was like, we need to get rid of it. The other half was like, no, don't get rid of it. It was a huge fight. New York, same thing every year. Columbus Day, Indigenous People's Day. Columbus Day, Indigenous People's Day. Yeah, there was an interview on the news I saw once. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but I found it funny. The reporter went up to some guy and was like, sir, what are you going to be doing for Indigenous People's Day? And he was like, let me tell you something, it's Columbus Day. I'm sick and tired of people coming in and changing the name. We're proud of that day. It's Christopher Columbus. It's Columbus Day. It's not going to change. In fact, how would you feel if somebody came along, took something that's been around for a long time, and just decided to switch it and call it something else, huh? How would you feel?
Trevor gesticulates aggressively.
I was like, but sir, isn't that the spirit of Columbus Day?
He smiles widely.
I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of Indigenous People's Day, the title. I don't like it. I think it's a cop-out. I don't think it's specific enough. It's lazy. You know, Indigenous People's Day. Which Indigenous people? Where? How? Give me something, you know? You know what I liked about Columbus Day? Is that it was specific. Yeah. It was a specific, inspiring story of a man by the name Christopher Columbus, who believed against all odds that he could sail the wrong way around the world and get to India from the other side. Nobody believed in him. Yeah. He was like, I'm gonna do this. They were like, you can't do it, Chris. And he was like, I'm gonna do it. They're like, you can't do it, Chris. He's like, I'm gonna do it. They're like, you can't do it, Chris. And he raised money, he fought for years, he finally got the ships, and he sailed the wrong way around the world, and he didn't do it. Not only did he not land on the other side of India, he found himself in a place called the Caribbean, and he was like, this is India. And the people there were like, I don't know if you've been eating some of the herb we've been leaving about, but this is totally not India. And they're like, this is India and you guys are Indians. They're like, brother, we are not Indians. He's like, I know Indians when I don't see them. You're Indians, you're just on the far side, so you're West Indians. And he stuck with it. Christopher Columbus stuck with it his entire life. Other explorers would come to him, they'd be like, yo, Chris, I don't think you made it to India. He's like, it's India. They're like, I don't think it's India. He's like, it's India. He died refusing to acknowledge the possibility that he never made it to India. Not only that, my friends, he never set foot in America. ever. Ever. And yet, he had a public holiday named after him in America. That, my friends, is the inspiring story of how white men can fail up.
Trevor raises one hand to the side.
You know how much confidence you have to pull that off? Nobody else. That is white man confidence. Nobody else possesses that level of confidence. Go the wrong way, end up in the wrong place, call the wrong people the wrong name, and be like, I'm right, give me a holiday. No one else can do that. That is the level of confidence we should all aspire to, is white man levels of confidence. Women couldn't pull that off. You think any woman should be like, I'm gonna sail the wrong way around the earth? They'd be like, burn her, she's a witch.
Trevor points.
You think people of color could have pulled that off? You think black people could pull that off? Wow, really? Black people are gonna sail around the world, wrong way around, get to the place they're not supposed to be, and probably get arrested for trespassing. Be like, what are you doing here? Be like, man, my bad, man. I thought I was getting to India, man. My bad, man. I apologize. Man, I don't even know what I was thinking, man. You know what, man? We should have never messed with ships. It never turns out good, man. I apologize, man. This won't happen again. Why would you want to bury your history? So much joy, there's so much to learn. You know? It feels like America's moving in that direction. You know? It wants less and less of its history, wants less and less context. You look at what's happening with textbooks, places like Florida. They want to ban textbooks or cut out the parts of the textbooks that have slavery in the books. And now parents are fighting. Parents are fighting. They're like, oh, no, take the slavery out. It's making the kids feel bad. And other parents are like, keep the slavery in. It's teaching the children. And these parents are fighting back and forth. I'm like, why? What? You don't need to be fighting about. No one should be fighting about this. Kids don't read textbooks.
Trevor tightens his lips and shakes his head.
They watch TikTok. If you want to get to the kids, that's where you got to be. There was slavery. Ships came. Yeah, they.
He dances, then grins as he steps across the stage.
I'll be honest, I don't think that textbook thing is like a real issue. I feel like it's one of those manufactured issues that often happens in America that gets people riled up and gets them fired up fighting about something that was never an issue to begin with, you know? And the reason I say this is because that's honestly what I believe. I feel like in America, politicians have done a really good job of tricking Americans into fighting about issues that were never an issue to begin with, so that you don't pay attention to the issues that actually are. You know? If they can get you fighting about what's in a textbook, you don't pay attention to the fact that inflation is out of control, you don't pay attention to the fact that rents are out of control, people cannot afford to live anywhere, your salaries have never kept up with inflation, corporations steal billions and billions of dollars from their employees with no ramifications, you don't pay attention to any of that. You pay attention to what's catchy. It's easy to keep up with. It keeps you going. You know? Ooh, can trans people use public bathrooms? Ooh.
He widens his eyes and leans over.
It's manufactured. Who was actually dealing with this issue? And I mean this, honestly. Who was actually dealing with this issue? You know what they did? Some politician out there figured out. They go, here's a small story affecting a few people in a random place. I'm going to make it seem like this is a nationwide issue. And then everyone starts fighting about it. But who? Who was really dealing with it? Huh? Who of you here has ever been in a situation where you were in a bathroom and all of a sudden a skirmish broke out and you heard people being like, excuse me, is this the gender that you were born with? Does it coincide with the sign on the door? Is your genitalia matching this? Can I see it right now? Who's ever seen that? Nobody.
Trevor bends forward and points.
Nobody. But they make us fight about it because it's catchy. Who can use which bathroom? Who cares? Who cares? I mean, who cares? I know someone will be like, oh, but trans people care. They want to know if they can use a public bathroom. Yeah, use whichever bathroom you want. Who's going to stop you? No, seriously, it's a public toilet. Who is going to stop you? You tell me who's going to enforce that law. We can't even enforce the idea that people should shit into the toilet. But you think magically they're going to figure out if you were born this way? Use whichever one you want. Why are we wasting our time? Other people are like, oh, we're going to fight because you got to know who's using. Let me tell you something. If you are spending enough time to know the genitalia of the other people in a public bathroom, you're the creep. I'm worried about you. There is a simple rule to every public toilet around the world, and that rule is you get in, you pay no attention to anyone else, you hold your breath, and you get out. I'm standing around staring at other people. Like every man in this room knows, when we use the toilet, what do? We get in, public toilet, you stare dead ahead. You pee, you do your thing. You do not look to either side. If you're fidgety, you look up, you look down. You do not look at anyone else. The guy next to you could start choking. You don't turn your head, you don't shake, you don't move. You hear him like, you be like, hey man, hey. Hey, hey, you all right? Yo, yo, hey man, you okay? Yo, yo, you want me to call? Hey man, are you okay? Yo, you want me to call? Don't look at me!
Trevor kicks his foot out to the side without turning his head, then looks over.
What are we doing? What are we fighting about? Public bathrooms. And if you know your history, you'll know this happens all the time in America. It happens over and over and over again. There was a time when women had to fight to use public bathrooms in America. Imagine that. There was literally a time when women weren't allowed to use public bathrooms all across America, and they had to fight. And there were men who were angry. They're like, this is crazy. You're gonna have women in public bathrooms? That's insane. Like, how does it work? Huh? What, they're gonna come in there while we're peeing? And then what, they're gonna look at our wieners? Huh? And they're gonna laugh? Huh? Think about this, ladies. There was a time when women were first allowed to step into the workplace where there were no public bathrooms that they could use. So ladies, if you were out and about back then, you needed to pee, you needed to poo, you had to go home. Yeah, and I say poo theoretically, I don't know if you actually do. No, I don't think any guy does, let's be honest. We don't. Like, we assume this on a biological level, but I don't know for certain that any woman actually... In fact, any man in here, I don't, like, think of any woman in your life. Do you know the last time she pooed? I don't think you know. I don't think you know. There is no forensic evidence to back up that claim. There is no smell. There is no stain. There is no nothing. And ladies, I don't know who's doing your bathroom PR, but they are doing a stellar job. Stellar job. Women go to the bathroom, smells better when they come out of it. How? You never know when a lady is pooing, never. Because also, women keep the same amount of time. That's the most impressive thing. You give nothing away. Yeah, a woman's gonna go pee, it takes 10 minutes. She goes to the bathroom, right? Gets there, tinkle, 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 comes out, washes her hands, powders her face, you know, texts on the phone a bit, comes back to the table, you have no clue. Yeah, she's gonna go poo, same thing, 10 minutes. Goes to the bathroom, there's a thing, pellets, 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 comes back out, wash her hands, powder the nose, text her friends, get back out there. You have no clue. With men, you know exactly what we're doing. Discretion is not our forte. You know when every single man is gonna go pee. Why? 2 minutes. Off to the bathroom, we're in there. Quickest thing ever. It's like a NASCAR pit stop. Yeah, we get in, we pee, we come back out, act like we're washing our hands, and we're back.
Trevor gestures aside, then walks in the indicated direction.
How do you know when we're gonna take a dump? Because it's obvious. We go to the bathroom, never come back. That's the last time you'll ever see us. Your family's putting up wanted posters in the restaurant. Have you seen this man?
He mimes putting up a poster and grins.
Imagine, people were fighting about bathroom. This every time in America, every time. There was a time when black people had to fight to use public bathrooms. Huh? Same thing. Black people were like, why can we not use public bathrooms? And again, people were angry. This is crazy. You're gonna have black people in the public bathroom? How does that even work, huh? So what, they're gonna be standing there while I'm peeing, huh? And they're gonna be looking at my wiener, huh? And they're gonna laugh,
Huh?
Yo, I'm old enough to remember when there was a discussion in America about whether gay people could use public bathrooms. This was an actual topic of discussion. I remember seeing people on the news being interviewed. They'd be like, do you think that gay men should be allowed into the same bathrooms as straight men? I'd be like, look, I don't mind what they do. If they keep it to themselves, that's fine. But, like, just answer me this. Answer me this. How's it gonna work, huh? So what, you're in the bathroom with them, and then what? Like, he's gay, and I'm just standing there, and I'm peeing, huh? And he's looking at my wiener, huh? And then he grabs it, huh? And he starts yanking on it, huh? He just starts tugging away, and I get hard, and I'm enjoying it, huh? And then this is one of the best experiences I've ever had, huh? And then I start coming back weekly, hoping I'll bump into him, and I do, huh? And then at some point, we agree to meet outside a nice little restaurant that's cozy and get to know each other, huh? And then a few years later, we get married, and our families are joined, and we live happily ever after, huh? Is that what you want?
Trevor makes a pumping motion with his fist at waist level.
Why?
He shrugs.
Public bathrooms. That's why you shouldn't bury your history. Yeah, because if you know it's happened, you know what to predict. You understand why it happened in the first place. Germany does that in a truly astounding way. Look, it's not perfect. It'll never be perfect. But Germany is one of the only countries in the world that has actively paid reparations for what they did. One of the only countries in the world that has actively apologized. And one of the only countries in the world that's set about changing how they see themselves and how the world sees them. After World War II, Germany changed a bunch of laws. They changed the iconography of the country, what you could hang, where you could hang it. They changed their national anthem. Yeah. Imagine that. They changed the national anthem. They felt that the national anthem was a nationalist song that the Nazis used to inspire people to think the wrong things, and they changed it. The original song was a song called Deutschland, Deutschland über alles. And you've probably heard it like in old movies or whatever. The song went like, Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, auf der Welt. And translated into English, it means Germany, Germany, over everything in the world. And clearly they meant it. Yeah, where most anthems are theoretical, Germans are precise. But after World War II, they were like, we can't have that same attitude. And so they changed the anthem. They had new lyrics. And the new lyrics are, Einigkeit und Rechts und Freiheit für das deutsche Vaterland. Which translated into English is, Unity and rights and freedom for all the people who live in Germany.
Trevor squints and gives a toothy smile.
Which is adorable. It's adorable. I mean, they may as well have made the song, sorry, sorry, we're so, so sorry. Sorry, sorry, sorry for what we did. I appreciate that they did it, but I wouldn't have gone that far. No, I'm not gonna lie, I wouldn't have gone that far. I think Über alles is terrible. That's not a good way to think. But you still gotta have a bit of kick in your anthem, you know? Still gotta have like a, Yeah, I would have found like a middle ground. Mine would have been like, Deutschland, Deutschland, irgendwo in den Top 5. Nicht über alles auf der Welt. Because we are definitely in the top 5 when you think about it. America's number 1, and then you have Great Britain, and then you have France and Spain, and then we are at number 4. Well, actually, Spain is not better than us, so we are number 4. Number 4 in the... Oh, yeah, but France, the economy is not that strong, so maybe we are number 3 in the world. Then you have England above... Oh, wait, the old Brexit was not a smart idea, so maybe we are number 2 and America is number... Oh, the elections are not that stable, so then maybe we are über alles auf der Welt!
Trevor shakes his fist overhead. He grins and touches his chin.
It's one of the biggest things they did. And nobody knows that they did it. I was chatting to a German guy, and he was perplexed by this. Absolutely perplexed. He was like, yeah, you know, Trevor, in Germany, we've done so many things. Oh, do you know, the national anthem was quite a big change for us. I'm sure the whole world talks about this. I was like, nope. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? No, who doesn't talk about it? I was like, nobody. Nobody talks about it. He's like, who's nobody? I was like, nobody. Nobody. Like, no one. No one outside of Germany talks about it. No one even knows this. He's like, how can they not know? I was like, what do you mean, how can they not know? Like, it's German. Like, no one speaks German outside of Germany. How would anyone know? And also, you guys did something weird. You changed the lyrics, but you kept the beat.
Trevor shrugs and tightens his lips.
It's a strange move, you know? You're like, this song is terrible, and we are going to change it. Yeah, what about the beat? No, we are keeping that, because I've learned all the moves, yeah?
He dances.
That's probably why most people don't know it, like, it changed, right? You kept the beat. Most people don't know lyrics, we just know the beat. Right? No one knew Michael Jackson was saying you're a vegetable. None of us knew that. Some of you right now are like, wait, when did he say vegetable? Yeah, you've been singing it your whole life. You're a vegetable. No one knows lyrics, we just know the beat. That's what Germany did. It's weird. It's weird to not change the music, because the music comes with emotion. I was trying to explain this to him. He didn't get it. And I realized, you know what it's like? What Germany did would be like if in Star Wars, right? You know Star Wars. Right? Let's say, like Darth Vader. Whenever Darth Vader came into a scene, whenever he landed on one of those planets, you always knew something was about to go down, something bad, because he had his music, right? The music told you what was gonna happen. Ship would land, door would open, and he'd be standing there. But he would never come into the game without his song playing. Never. He'd be there, DJ on the side, like,
DJ, play my jam.
Trevor mimes DJ.
That's right.
And then you knew it was about to go down. Get down there.
Kneel before me, Jedi.
We'll never kneel before you, Darth. We will fight.
He mimes swinging a lightsaber.
You cannot defeat me.
He's so strong. I don't know if we're going to win.
Defeat him we shall. Use the force we will. Ah, you have defeated me.
We did it, Master Yoda. We did it. We defeated Darth Vader.
Indeed we have.
What do we do now?
Free the Empire we shall. Travel around, the good news we shall spread.
Let's do it.
Yes, a new song we shall play. Boom, 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 boom. You're free. Boom, boom, boom.
It's weird, that's all I'm saying. It's still impressive, though. It's still impressive. Changing your national anthem is no small thing. It truly isn't. Changing anything. We were having this conversation, and so afterwards, he said something interesting to me. He's like, yeah, you know, because we saw how Germany had to change how it saw itself in order to change what it did. You know, that's why we had to change the anthem. I was like, wow, that's really powerful. He's like, yeah, do you think America would ever change? I was like, don't even finish that sentence. You don't even finish that sentence. Because if there's one thing I've learned, America hates change. Woo! America does not like change. You want to change the things Germany changed, the money, the flags, the anthem. Are you kidding me? Remember when they tried to change the $20 bill? Remember that? Yeah, they said they were going to put Harriet Tubman on the bill. People got so angry, they've postponed it indefinitely. People were furious. They're like, what are you doing? They're like, we're gonna put Harriet Tubman. They're like, how dare you? How dare you take an American president off the 20? How dare you take, who's on the 20? How dare you take Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill? People are like, they're not taking him off. They're just putting Harriet Tubman on the front and Andrew Jackson will be on the back. You're putting an American president on the back? On the back? That's disrespectful. It's not really. I mean, if you know your history, you would know Andrew Jackson would love to be on the backside of a black woman. So I don't know why you're so stressed. I feel like everybody wins.
Trevor shrugs.
People were furious, though. And now you're going to suggest changing the flag? Suggest changing the anthem? Whew! There's two things I've learned living in America. It's you respect the flag, and you respect the anthem. Yeah, I don't know what it means, but I follow the rules. No, the reason I say I don't know what it means is because it's confusing. You'll meet a lot of people who are like, you respect the flag! And I get it, but then I'll see those same people on July 4th, and they'll be wearing the flag as underwear.
He gestures around his groin and backside. He narrows his eyes.
Does that count? Yeah, you looked up and you were like, that flag, these balls. I mean, I would never suggest changing any of it. The anthem, oh, no, never the anthem. Even though it could, maybe it could do with a little change, you know? It is a very violent anthem. You know, and America struggles with a lot of violence, maybe like a softer anthem, because it is, it's a violent anthem. It's the only anthem I've ever heard that has bombs blowing up in it. Yeah, there are bombs and rockets in your national anthem. It's like a Michael Bay movie in a song. Everything just blowing up in slow motion. And it's almost like you're threatening other countries as well. You know, it's just like, yeah, bombs bursting and the rockets were flaring, try us. It's like a gangster rap, to be honest. It really is. I feel like the American anthem is like a gangster rap. You know, it has all the same elements, has the violence, has the threats. You know how much it's similar to a gangster rap? The American anthem is the only anthem where you can put the word bitch at the end of any line, and the song still makes sense. Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there, bitch.
Trevor gestures with both hands and juts out his chin. He steps to the side and grins.
I love the American national anthem, I won't lie. It's exciting, and I know all the words. I didn't try and learn the words, but I know the words. It's just one of those songs that you hear so much that you know it, you know? Sort of like, Nationwide is on your side, like same thing. I don't want to know that. I don't need to know that. Yeah, I wish I could reclaim the space in my brain, but it's there. America's national anthem is like that, because you hear it so much in America. You know, this is the only country I've ever lived in where you play the national anthem when there is no other country in attendance. Yeah, it would be like basketball games, football games, beer pong games, national anthem. Which I know is normal if you've lived in America all your life. You're like, well, what other way is there, Trevor? Well, I'll tell you, as somebody who comes from the rest of the world, that's not a thing. It's not. Most places in the world, you play the national anthem like maybe once a year on like a national event or when you're competing against another country. That's when you play it, right? Because the other country's there and you have to prove to your country that you're loyal. That's why you sing the song, you know, because countries are very insecure. You have to reassure them, constantly reassuring. They should go to therapy, deal with their attachment issues, but they don't. You only realize how insecure countries are when you leave your country. Have you ever left and come back? Have you seen the questions your country asks you? So insecure, so jealous, just like, where have you been? Huh? Where have you been? Which countries, huh? So what, you have another country now? Huh? Is that what you're doing? Huh? Huh? Which stamps are these? Let me see, who's been stamping your passport? Let me see your passport. You're like, yeah, damn country. Let me get my privacy.
Trevor mimes pulling something away.
That's why in most places, you only sing the anthem when there's another country in attendance. Only time you do it. Because that's what it's for. Make your country feel good. Right? You know what national anthems are in many ways? National anthems are the geopolitical equivalent of that thing women do to us men. Like, ladies, you know that trick you have for that man in your life? Like, whenever his ego is bruised and you have to try and heal it. Yeah, every woman in this room has a trick that works on every man. And right now I know a lot of the women are like, shut up, Trevor, shut up, 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 shut up. It's a beautiful, subtle technique. Yeah. You'll be out having lunch or something, and some guy will come up to the table, he's buff, works out, you know, looks really good. He's like, oh my God, Michelle? It's like, oh, Justin? Oh my God, wow, how are you? And you there like, who the hell is Justin? What's going on? He's like, this is crazy. I can't believe this, twice in 2 weeks? And you there like, twice? When was once? Who is this? I know, oh my God, oh, how are you? I'm doing good. Man, we gotta catch up sometime. We gotta talk about college. I was thinking about it the other day. We were so crazy in college. You remember that night? And you're like, you went to college? What's going on here? She can feel your ego slowly withering like a raisin in the sun. And she won't look at you. She won't make anything big out of it. She'll continue the conversation. But they'll gently just put their hand on your thigh and then just start rubbing it. She'll carry on like nothing's happening. I know, those were crazy. I mean, I was a cheerleader. I mean, what are you gonna do, you know? It's just one of those. And then the hand is there going, shh, 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 shh. It's okay, it's okay. It's okay, you're a big man. Big man. Strong man, that's right. There's no other men in the world, just you. Look at you, wow. What a big man, yeah. Who, this guy? I don't even know who he is. Oh yeah, no, with his muscles? Oh, I don't like muscles, no. Oh, I hate muscles, they're disgusting. Look at him, oh, working out and everything's in shape and bulging. No, it's disgusting. What, six packs? No, I don't want a six pack. I don't like six packs, that's why I like you. Boop.
Trevor mimes rubbing someone's leg, then tapping their nose.
That's what a national anthem is. You reassuring your country. The American anthem is such an interesting one, you know? Everything that represents America is the anthem. America has the most fun anthem rules in the world. Only country in the world where you're allowed to sing the anthem however you want. However you want. You can't do that anywhere else. Everywhere else in the world, the anthem is the way it is written. It's boring and that's the point. You can't just change it. In America, you can do whatever you please. I noticed it the first time. First time I really noticed it was at a basketball game. It was the New York Knicks, and they were playing against the Toronto Raptors, right? And because the Raptors are from Canada, they had to play two national anthems before the game, which is rare. And so we're in the arena, and everyone's like, and then the voice comes on. It's like,
ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the Canadian national anthem.
And everybody stood, and then they just played like a tape somewhere. Yeah, you could tell they didn't care. And it was the song, the Canadian song. It's always the same. It was like, oh, Canada, that's just a native song. I've missed all. And something brings us back to do, 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 do. You know the song, man. I don't have time for that, whatever. They sang the Canadian anthem, they were done, and then the announcer came back.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please stay standing for the American national anthem.
And that's my favorite part. Yeah, the lights will go dark. Someone walks to the middle of the arena. It's always so intense, complete silence.
Trevor puts the mic back on the stand and grips it gently. He turns his face upward.
Ooh.
stands with his eyes closed, his face twitching. He mimes checking his watch and shrugs. He widens his eyes.
See.
His lip trembles. His eyes shine. He touches a hand to his mouth.
By the dawn, early night.
He waves his hand beside his head, then slaps the side of his neck and looks around.
What's so proud that we...
He grinds against the mic stand.
Why are you trying to make the anthem sexy? What are you doing? What are you doing? I never understand that. Why are you trying to make it a sexy song? You'll never be in England and see someone like, remix, God save the Queen, God save the Queen. I saved the Queen with sexy sex. Come on, save the Queen. Let's save the Queen with sexy sex. Come on, save that Queen.
Trevor pumps his hips and dances.
Oh, man.
He goes to a stool and sips from a mug.
So Germany was fun. And then we headed to Paris, France, to do shows. For the first time in my life, I was very excited. Always wanted to perform in Paris, didn't know what it would be. But can I tell you, Paris is everything they tell you it is. It is easily one of the most romantic cities I have ever been to in my life. I fell in love 1,000 times. I was by myself, it didn't matter. Yeah. Every night it was just me and those bed bugs, baby. I really enjoyed Paris because, you know, I got to meet Parisians in person. You know, not stereotypes, not things that you're told about them. No, actually meet French people, learn about them from them. And I learned some truly amazing things. For instance, the French have a very different relationship with work than the rest of us, right? In that they don't give a shit about it. Which honestly I found inspiring. Yeah, I feel like a lot of us have become a little too attached to our work, you know? We identify with our work. Have you ever asked somebody just randomly be like, hey, tell me about yourself? And they'll be like, well, I'm an architect. And tell me about yourself. Well, you know, I own a hair salon. And tell me about yourself. Well, I'm a teacher. And tell me about yourself. And people will tell you about what they do. You know, it's become the thing that people focus on. The French don't do that. No. You'll never meet a French person who does that. You go up to a French person, you'd be like, excuse me, what do you do? Be like, oh, me, I go for walks with my friends, and, you know, I like to, eat good food. And you're like, no. What do you do for a living? It's like, ah, for a living, pardon. Okay, for a living, okay. No, I breathe. And, you know, I drink water and, you know, of course I have to make love, you know. It's just a different way to be, man. You know, not being so attached to your work. It was lovely. I learned this because when I flew to Paris, my luggage was lost, right? Yeah, landed in the airport and bags were gone, didn't arrive. I discovered this, obviously, at the carousel, which is one of those shitty things that airlines do to you. They know your bags are not coming. Yeah, they know where your bag is every single moment, but they don't tell you. They let you stand there like an idiot with hope in your heart. They could literally come to your seat before you take off and just be like, it's not coming. Spoiler alert. But they don't. They let you take off with all that joy like an idiot. Whee! I landed in Paris. I thought it was the beginning of a great trip. I was skipping around. I had my full luggage swag. And I was like, I'm gonna get my bags, go into Paris, start exploring. Got to the carousel. I was like, Full luggage swag. That's right. Let me get my luggage, everybody. I was like, excuse me. Make some space, please. I would also like to lean over the carousel. It makes the bags come quicker. Come on, lucky bag.
Trevor mimes throwing dice.
I had full luggage swag. Bags started coming out. I was standing there judging them. Ha ha, who still uses Samsonite? Ha 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 ha. Ah, where's my bag? Bags going around. And then new bags stopped coming out. I started worrying. And then at some point there were fewer and fewer bags. And I was like, oh, my bag's not coming. And I realized my bag hadn't arrived. It was terrible. I had the same feeling. The same feeling I had as a child when my mom would forget me at school. The exact same feeling. I was just standing at the carousel. I felt like I was that kid, 10 years old again, just like.
No, Mr. Wilkinson, it's fine. You can go. My mom's gonna come. Don't worry, you can go home. She's coming. She wouldn't forget me. No, she's probably dead somewhere right now. She's probably in a ditch, lying dead.
She forgot me. She'd forget me occasionally, and then I'd have to walk home. It was like an hour walk, and I'd get home. And she'd always have the same reaction when I walked into the house, because my mom worked from home, and so she'd have like a little computer where she'd be typing away, and I'd walk into the house, and I'd close the door, be like, always the same reaction. She'd be like, oh.
No, baby, no. Oh, what time is it? And I'd be like, it's too late.
Trevor does an exaggerated march across the stage, leaning back and forth.
I'm not gonna lie, I hated being forgotten at school, but I savored those moments. I savored, because it wasn't any sweat, to be honest. Like, I liked walking, you know. It's not like I was stressed on the walk. Oh, I'd be kicking stones, singing on the way back, and then I'd get to the house and I'd be like, no, wait a minute, I loved it, because that was the one moment when I was allowed to give my mom unlimited attitude with no repercussions, none. Yeah, because when I was a kid, you couldn't just be like give attitude to your parents. Like, I wasn't a white child, you know what I mean? You couldn't, I had to watch myself. But when she messed up, ooh, I loved it. I'd walk in, she'd be like, oh, can you forgive me, baby? I'd be like, I'll think about it.
Trevor does the exaggerated march again.
So now I had to find somebody to help me. I look around. It's an older French gentleman standing on the side. Gray hair, rosy cheeks, short little guy with glasses. And so I walked over to him, and he was wearing a red vest. And in French, it read, information. And then underneath in English said, information. I was like, phew. Bonjour, hello, hi. He's like, oh, hello, bonjour. I said, English, French? I said, English? Yeah, oui. I said, okay, could you help me, please? My luggage didn't arrive. I would like to know what do I need to do? He's like, oh, the luggage didn't come. If you could put fine for that one, maybe you can put you, because different flight airlines can be put on different ones. You go to, so you have to try to maybe go different. Maybe they're going to come for tracking, look inside the app, and that one you can be like fine for you, because it's not different ones, because we are not in control with the airport, but these different ones they are putting in for the airline, they are in control, so maybe you can't see for that one. I was like, okay. All right, let's try French.
Trevor grimaces.
Let's see what happens. Finally, we figured it out. He sent me off to a special area where you go and I guess make a report. And when I get there, there's another French guy who's behind the counter, much younger, right? He was like maybe Algerian, Moroccan of descent, but very French, cool guy. And he's behind the counter helping someone. He's like, okay, thank you very much, thank you, next please. And I walk up, I'm like, hey man. He's like, hey, what's going on, my brother? How are you, man? What's up with you, what's up? I was like, I need your help, please. My luggage, it didn't come, it's lost. He's like, oh no, dude, your luggage didn't come. Oh man, did you look for it? So what? Yeah, that's the first thing I did. What, you think I'm just here for company? Of course, that's
But he's like, oh, no, just checking, okay? So the bag is gone, it's totally, I'm like, yeah, it's gone. He's like, oh, man, that sucks, man. I'm so sorry for you, man. That's terrible. Yeah, so what do you want to do now?
So what do I want to do? So I would like you to do something, like to, can we like make a report or something? He's like, ah, okay, yeah. You want to make some paperwork or something? It's for your insurance so they can pay you for it? I said, no, it's so that you can find it and bring it to me. He's like, oh, no, don't worry, we are not going to find it. No, man. No, don't worry about that. No, you know, it's Paris, man. When the bags are gone, they are probably gone. Yeah, they don't ever pop up. Sometimes if you are lucky, but if it's not here by now, it's probably gone, you know. It's Friday, there are some strikes, you know. Just you can leave. Don't even stress yourself. You can go.
It's like, don't even stress myself. Yo, this is my luggage. This is like all my clothes.
He's like, yeah, but you are in Paris. You need clothes? This is Paris, man. Come on, Paris, go and buy some clothes. What's wrong with you, man? Chill.
He was so confident, he made me feel like I was wrong. Like, I doubted myself. I walked away and I was like, am I wrong? Am I too attached to my luggage?
He wasn't lying. Paris does have a great selection of clothing. I had to go and buy clothes because I had nothing for my shows, for anything. And if you ever do go to Paris, take some extra money for the clothes shopping. It's amazing. And try and also pack an extra pair of self-esteem. Yeah, you'll need it when you shop with the French, because they're not your friends. Yeah, I've never been to a country where you are truly on your own when you're shopping. Like, you walk into a store, nobody helps you, nothing. You don't know who works there, you don't know who's doing anything. Literally, it's like undercover employee. You're just walking around. Just like 20 minutes, nobody helped me. And then finally I started picking my own clothes, and then I heard like an annoyed voice behind me. It was like, can I help you? I was like, hi, yes, I need to get a few clothes, please. My luggage was lost. And then Detroit, I got roasted more than I've ever been roasted in my life, ever. Ever. I got roasted. Everything I chose came with a scathing review. I was like, yeah, could I please get this in a medium? He's like, ah, medium? No, you mean large or extra large, no? Yeah, no, this one is the medium for your body. I don't think so, no? I was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, no, yeah, I think you are large, extra. I can bring that one for you, okay? Medium is too much for the shirt, okay? I'm like, what? Yo, everything. There's a point where, like, I picked, there's a jacket I wanted to buy. I was like, yeah, could I get this? He's like, oh, no, this one for your skin tone is not great. No, you have to think about what is complementary for the colors inside the fabric and also inside your face, okay? This one is not the best. I was like, yo, I already own something like this. He's like, ah, and you are wearing it?
Trevor pulls his head back and raises his eyebrows.
Well, not anymore.
He's like, no, you can wear it if you want. No, c'est tranquille, go ahead.
I was like, no, you threatened me now. you know what, it's just different. A friend said to me, a friend was like, dude, the French are assholes, right? I was like, no, I don't think that they're assholes. I think they're just very honest, right? And a lot of the time, it's hard to tell the difference between the two. Because one day I was speaking to a French woman and I worked up the courage to ask her. I said, hey, why are the French like this? And she said, what do you mean? I said, like, when you're in like a store, you know, they seem very mean. She's like, oh no, they are not being mean, they are just being themselves, no? You know, maybe because you are used to coming in a country where people are, you know, they are so afraid that you are not going to tip them, that, you know, they are all on top of you. Ah, can I help you? But in France, we are making sure that everybody is getting like a good salary, a good wage. So we are not, you know, so stressed about that, huh? You know, in America, it's like, oh, the customer is king, but in France, you know what we do to kings. So, you know, it's not the same here.
Trevor shrugs.
The French don't play that game. You guys have been so much fun tonight, Detroit. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. You know, prove me right. This is why you go to Detroit, you know?
No, for real. It's like an amazing audience. Beautiful, diverse. And the city's been cool too. We've been seeing a few things here and there. I had a fight with my friend, Dave. He directs these specials, and he said to me the one day, he's like, yo, dude, what are you doing during the day? And I was like, well, I'm, you know, might go eat, might do something. He's like, dude, why don't we go, like, check out all the museums in Detroit? I was like, maybe, like, one. And he's like, what do you mean, one? I was like, yeah, well, I'm not, like, not all. What do you mean, all? He's like, dude, have you been here before? You know how many amazing museums they got? I'm like, yes, but it's still a museum. I'll do, like, one, and that's it. Like, I don't have that much stamina. I can't do as many as you, right? And he's like, well, what do you mean you can't do as many as me? How do you know? I was like, dude, because you're white, like, you enjoy doing that. I was just joking. I was just teasing him. I just tease him. He got so offended so quickly, right? He's like, what did you say? I was like, no, because white. He's like, dude, white people don't, like, love museums. Like, what are you even talking about? Like, museums aren't even in the top five things white people love, okay? He said it with such confidence and with such conviction. I was like, what is the top five? Because what a strange phrase. He was like, that's not even in the top five. Like, in his bedroom, he has a list on the wall of the top 10 things. It was amazing. I thought about it and I was like, no, it is. I stick with my decision. Museums would be. Because no, it's not even a bad thing. White people love museums. Like, a lot of people enjoy museums, but white people love museums. Love museums. There's not a single place on earth where white people have settled and not built a museum. It doesn't matter. White people love museums. Have you ever seen white people in a museum? Have you ever seen them? They just walk around smiling with their hands behind their back.
Trevor strolls across the stage with a serene smile, his hands held behind his back.
Yep, that was us. And that was us too. It's been a good run.
White people love museums. What are you talking about? It would easily be in the top. I wouldn't put it at number one, but it would be in the top five. You know? Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, if I was to have a top five things white people love, I'd put museums at number five. At number four, I'd put swimming. Right? Because white people love swimming. And there's nothing wrong with that. Have you seen white people swim? Like, you look stunning. Stunning. Because whenever white people swim, you do that thing with your hair, you come out of the water, just like...
Trevor bends back and waves his hand upward.
And it just goes perfectly back like a duck. I would love swimming too. White people love swimming. White people love swimming so much that they made it that you can win more medals at the Olympics swimming than any other discipline. Yeah, that's how much white people love swimming. I realized this the one day. There was an argument going on about who the greatest Olympian of all time is, right? And the final two was Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt. And then one of the arguments was, well, Michael Phelps is better because he has more medals. And I was like, yeah, because he cheated. Yeah, he won them swimming. I'm not saying Michael Phelps is not a great Olympian. I'm just saying you can't count the medals in the argument, right? Because in swimming, it's the only discipline where you win more medals for doing the same thing in a slightly less efficient manner. It makes no sense. Think about it. They'll be there. It's like, 100-meter freestyle. Bam.
Trevor mimes swimming freestyle and moves across the stage.
Done. Gold medal. Yeah. And now this.
He mimes doing a backstroke with a wide smile.
Another medal, yeah. And this one?
He mimes doing the butterfly.
Another medal, but what about this one?
He mimes the breaststroke.
Another medal, that's some bullshit. I don't care what anyone says. You can't win more medals. Usain Bolt doesn't have that luxury. When Usain Bolt runs, it's the 100 meter and it's done. And he marks, set, pa, run, get to the end, win, gold medal. That's it. Yeah, he doesn't get to turn around and be like, that was an amazing race and now I'm going to do it butterfly style.
Trevor hops across the stage, leaning back with each hop.
It's not a thing. I mean, it should be, but it's not. White people love swimming, so they made that the rule. I get it. It would have to be. It would have to be, yeah. That would be my top five things. I'd go museums at number five, swimming at number four. Number three, being flabbergasted. White people love being flabbergasted. Come on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen when a white person's having like a bad day, something's gone wrong, and they always do that thing with their face, they just get flabbergasted, it's like...
Trevor turns his palms upward, his eyes and mouth wide. He gestures and mouths something. He crosses his arms. He shakes his head and purses his lips as he leans forward and back.
White people love being flabbergasted. You'll see it in supermarkets all the time. There's like a long line, right? Like only one cashier is open. Everyone's standing there patiently. There'll always be one white person who pops out like...
Trevor leans sideways and spreads his arms. He gestures ahead and mouths something.
What are they... Why don't they open the other... Are you serious? Why don't they... Are you... The only thing white people love more than being flabbergasted is finding another white person to flabbergast with. Have you seen that? Yo, whenever that happens, magic. It is absolute magic. A white person will be flabbergasting. They'll look, they'll make eye contact with another white person, and then they'll flabbergast together. It's like they Voltron their flabbergasting into a super flabbergast. You see them look over and just be like, oh, are you serious? I know.
Trevor mimes one person shrugging and tightening their lips, then another person mouthing something and crossing their arms.
And that's one of the keys to flabbergasting I've learned. You have to exhale. You have to let it all out. Life is so hard that the air has to leave your body. You can no longer even breathe. That's why there's so many tornadoes in the Midwest. It's just white people flabbergasting. It's like... White people love being flabbergasted. Has to be, top five. That would be my list. Top five things white people love. I go museums at number five, all right? Swimming at number four, being flabbergasted at number three, number two, being white. It's a pretty sweet gig, I don't blame you. And then there's number one. And look, this is my personal list. I'm not dictating anything. If you don't agree, make your own, right? It's personal preference. But there is one thing, and one thing alone, that white people love more than anything on this planet. Sweet Caroline. Let me tell you something now, Detroit. There is nothing that brings more joy to the soul of a white person than the sounds of that Neil Diamond song. I don't care where it is, I've been on every continent, in many countries, when that song plays, you see white people's eyes light up.
Trevor widens his eyes and tilts his head.
Like sleeper agents who've just been activated.
He wears an open-mouth smile.
It happens every time, without fail, every single time. And it's not about music, because other songs will be playing. Yeah, they'll be at a cookout, or they'll be at a baseball game, they'll be at like a company event. All the other songs are in the background, they pay them no heed. But when that song kicks in, it taps into the very DNA of whiteness. I don't know what it is, but it interrupts everything else. You'll see white people, they'll be hanging out, having conversations, they'll be like, yeah, you know, I mean, business, mergers and acquisitions, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, I know, we should circle back, let's put a pin in it. Meow, 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 meow. And that song comes in, and every single time, you think it's not gonna happen as well, it always creeps in. It always seems like it's not gonna happen, but it's always the same, it's always the same, it's always just like,
Caroline.
See, I didn't tell you to join in.
Trevor points to the audience with his eyes closed.
I didn't say all together now. I didn't say on the count of three. Did you feel that? That was just your whiteness coming out. Did you feel that? Huh? That was just you. You were like, this is it! This is our moment! Oh, 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 I'm white.
Look at you right now. So you're beaming. Look at your face. Look at you. Look at that joy. 10 minutes ago, you were like, I don't know about this guy. Now you're like, best comedian ever.
Trevor bends his knees and jiggles his shoulders.
Don't ever lose that joy. None of you white people, you hold on to it. It is a treasure. It's the most adorable thing in the world. There is nothing that makes white people happier than that song. Nothing. That song is pure, uncut Caucasian joy. That's what that song is. White people cannot resist it. Yeah, like, forget 23andMe. If you want to know how much white you have in you, play that song. The louder you respond, the whiter you are. I just saved you some money. There's no white person I've seen resist. It is the Marco to your Polo. That's what that song is. Like, I'll tell you something now. If there was ever, like, a giant earthquake, God forbid, and people were trapped beneath the rubble, I'd volunteer to find all the white people. I'd be like, you guys find everybody else. I got this. I got this.
Trevor bends over.
Sweet Caroline. I found another one.
He mimes pulling someone up.
Like, you okay, man? And I know right now some of you are like, oh, Trevor, we like that song, but it's not the most important to us. Oh, yeah? Then how come you didn't help me sing the anthem? Yo, Detroit, you guys have been amazing, man. Thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Trevor grabs the mic stand.
I had such a great time with all of you. I appreciate you. Good night.
He salutes the crowd as they give him a standing ovation. He presses his palms together and bows. He waves and walks across the stage. He gives the final salute and steps off stage. Backstage, he hugs someone who leads him through the halls and out a back door.
But then I know it's growing strong.
Trevor gets into a waiting SUV.
Wasn't the spring.
How'd we do?
It works every time, Neil Diamond.
All right.
It works every time.
Neil Diamond sits with Trevor.
Sweet Caroline.
Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Dakota Green. Voiced by Thomas Reed. Credits play over white audience members singing and dancing along. Written and performed by Trevor Noah. Produced and directed by David Paul Meyer. Executive producers Trevor Noah, Sanaz Yamin, Bob Bain, Norman Elodjam, Derek Van Pelt. Supervising producer Ben Fleischman. Line producer Danny Sanchez. Director of Photography, Dylan Sanford. Very special thanks, Neil Diamond. Copyright 2023, Netflix.
Thank you so much. That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Neil pats Trevor's shoulder. Logos, Day Zero Productions, Bob Bain Productions, Mainstay Entertainment.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.